Now Mardi Gras is next week, a holiday meant to be celebrated with food. It's Food Friday, and we're getting some inspiration from the world of Creole cooking. Sounds pretty good in a cold Wisconsin week. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a dish you make every year this time of year, maybe inspired by Mardi Gras? Do you have a favorite Fat Tuesday culinary tradition? Have you eaten a lot of Louisiana-style food? What's your favorite? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Ace Champion is from Louisiana, now a Green Bay-based chef and cooking instructor who specializes in Cajun and Creole cooking. He's host of the TV show Cook Like a Champion and author of the books 8 Steps to Your Perfect Meal and Cook Like a Champion, Cooking with Ace. Ace, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I was watching some of your show, digging through your recipes. What I love sometimes, Ace, is you take that Cajun and Creole cuisine and you merge in a little Wisconsin. Some Wisconsin cheese finds its way into your po' boys and things like that. How have you tried to merge your two home states?
Oh, you got to, man. It's not all about where you're from. It's where you're at, too.
And how has your cooking evolved in the years since you started in Louisiana?
It's been great. You know, I came up here around 2002, specifically to bring Cajun Creole out here to Wisconsin. And, you know, I'm down here in Green Bay and they've accepted it very well. You know, I'm doing the private in-home cooking and then teaching cooking classes.
Now, Parley, we called you because Mardi Gras is coming up next week. What kind of things are usually on your menu this time of year?
Oh, well, right now, everyone seems to be ordering the same menu. I almost forgot it was Fat Tuesday. That's why they were doing that. But, you know, a lot of French Quarter, seafood gumbo, sausage, jambalaya, you know, was on the menu. I got a private dinner tonight. They're doing the New Orleans Hush Puppies with, of course, the Wisconsin cheese addition to that. You know, and then you can't never have enough of those good old red beans and rice and maybe a little bananas Foster's for dessert.
Now, you've got a spice mix that's one of your favorites to work with. And I saw some people reviewing it saying, you know, it's got flavor, it's got some spice, but it's not too hot. And I think sometimes people think Cajun and Creole, oh, it's going to be super hot. It doesn't have to be, does it?
This is so true. This is so true. And this is kind of what took me a while to kind of, you know, get my business going is that misconsumption right there. It's like, man, I can make shrimp etouffee with no Cajun season. You know, it's just the amount of season that you add. Now, if you go down to New Orleans, they do put extra cayenne in there. They make it extra hot because that's how they like it. But as a chef here in Wisconsin, I know that's never going to fly. So it's more of a milder, all natural Cajun season that you can find on my website. And then here locally, we also sell it at Season to Taste down here in Howard too as well. And or Apocryphy too. So we're trying to get it out there in the hands of my fellow Wisconsinites.
What are some of the key flavors and spices that make it into, you know, a lot of our Cajun and Creole food? I know they'll vary from one dish to another.
Oh yeah, I mean the number one differential is the Cajun, the cayenne pepper. You know that, you know, in Jamaican they got the Scotch bonnet. You know, we got the cayenne pepper. You know, there's a lot of paprika. There's a lot of herbs in there, and that's why I love the Cajun season, because I mean you're looking at like 9 to 12 different herbs and spices in there. So it kind of takes out the guessing work when you're in the kitchen trying to figure out what spices to use. You just go right to the champion Cajun season, and you're good to go.
We're talking to Ace Champion, Green Bay-based chef and cooking instructor. You can see him on the TV show Cook Like a Champion. It's Food Friday. He's got some Cajun and Creole-inspired advice for us to cook at home. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite food maybe you remember from a trip to New Orleans? Do you want to know how to make it at home? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Ace, you shared some recipes with us. We've got them up at WPR.org/Food Friday. I'm not usually a guy who's going to start a meal with dessert, but I'm going to do it this time. Okay, here's the recipe. Chocolate bread pudding with whiskey butterscotch cream sauce. You had me at chocolate bread pudding with whiskey butterscotch cream sauce. Walk us. I love bread pudding, and these variations sound so awesome. Tell us about this guy.
Yeah, you know, the best way I can describe it, you know, is basically it's if you were making French toast using French bread, soaking the French bread in that nice rich custard and then baking that off. The sauce, traditionally in New Orleans, you would have the hard sauce, which is kind of like the caramel sauce, which that works great too as well. But a few years back, I started just doing a basic whiskey cream sauce that I got from Emeril Lagasse, which is basically heavy whipping cream, a little bit of milk, some sugar, and thicken it up with slurry. But that kind of reminded me of my college days as one of the mother sauces. So I was like, okay, well, if I put raspberries in there, I can have now a raspberry whiskey cream sauce. So when I did this chocolate version, I knew as a kid, butterscotch was like the forgotten candy that my grandma used to always give me in church. So the mixture of that butterscotch, and I'm just using butterscotch morsel chips that I'm throwing into the whiskey sauce right before it's done. And that literally puts it on a whole nother level.
And this sounds like, for what you were just saying, you can play with a lot of variations on this. You mentioned there's raspberries. Your recipe says you've got a lot of options for the whiskey. Tell us a couple of ways we could shake this one up if we're not happy with it as is, which I am.
Oh, yeah. You know, hey, you know, we're from Wisconsin, so we love the Door County cherries. So there's a Door County cherry version of that. You know, hey, you don't like white or dark chocolate. I like white chocolate. You could add that to that. You could definitely add any kind of nuts. Pecans are excellent. Almonds are excellent. And like I say, just think of this as a base. You know, you literally could, you can add apple pie filling and make an apple pie bread pudding, you know. And then like that sauce that we're making, that's not just for bread pudding. I mean, that sauce is, I mean, you can make waffles, French toast. I mean, you name it. That sauce is good for. Don't even put it on dessert. Just put it in your coffee if you have any leftovers and you got something good.
That sounds good. Oh, yeah. Let's bring out a caller now at 800-642-1234. Kevin is with us in Duluth. Kevin, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to ask about, Kevin?
I just wanted to say, first off, don't be afraid of making things a little hotter than you do.
I hear you.
Because there's some people up here that like that and can easily handle it and are looking for it. But at any rate, I just wanted to ask you about sassafras, the use of sassafras. I found it to be, in the past, to be a real critical component to certain things when I make Cajun, Creole, Cuban kinds of things, and I love it. But then I hear that there's a potential carcinogenic aspect to it, and I wondered how big of a concern that is. If you use it, if you don't, what is a viable substitute to get that particular richness that it seems to provide?
You talking about like the gumbo filet?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. What they call that. Yeah. Yeah. And that's just ground saffron. You're right. You know, it's being in Wisconsin, you know, it's not that easy to find a lot of those ingredients. So I've made this recipe gumbo several times and I just didn't add it to it, you know. And there's certain things that I want to add, like okra, for instance, you know, that's a staple, but I kind of refuse to use frozen okra, you know, until I can find some fresh okra in here in Green Bay. I just don't put it in there. You know, really the good gumbo that's really going to make it stand out is that dark roux that you do. And, you know, just making sure you got a good broth too as well. So boil them bones and get a nice rich broth.
So thanks for the call, Kevin. So you make do in some cases. I have learned to really like okra in my adult life, but yeah, it's, you know, it's not in season that much here in Wisconsin. It's not all over the place. When it is, right, do you make as much use of it as you can, Ace?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You know, when some people feel like, you know, they have to have a substitution, you know, like there was one recipe, I was doing a vegan bread pudding and I didn't want to use applesauce instead of egg. So I just didn't put the eggs in it. And it wasn't as, you know, vibrant, but as far as flavor wise, it was just as good. So a lot of times if you leave out, you know, obviously it can't be the main ingredient, like don't leave out the Cajun seasoning. But, you know, if it's just like a gumbo filet is like a finishing technique, you know, if you leave it out, I mean, I think you'll be just fine.
It's Food Friday. Ace Champion is with us, Green Bay-based chef and cooking instructor, originally from Louisiana. He specializes in Cajun and Creole cooking. He's giving us some inspiration from Louisiana cuisine. He's got some recipes, by the way. We've got them at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll get some more of them coming up. And you could join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about Cajun or Creole cooking? Do you have a Mardi Gras recipe to share, or you're looking for something to add a little spice to a cold Wisconsin week next week? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the Food Friday conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our Food Friday talk with Chef Ace Champion. He teaches classes in Creole cooking. He's getting us set up for Mardi Gras next week. His books include Cook Like a Champion, Cooking with Ace. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite dish for the Cajun and Creole cuisine world? Do you have something you tried, maybe at a restaurant, maybe on a trip to Louisiana? You want to find out how to recreate it as best you can? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Find a few recipes that Ace shared with us at WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's go back to your calls now. Layton is with us in West Bend. Layton, hi.
Good afternoon.
What did you want to ask about, Layton?
Oh, catfish couillon.
What was that?
Catfish couillon?
Catfish couillon.
Couillon. Yep. Is that something you, I'm not familiar with that, Ace.
Is that kind of like, you talking about like fried catfish with some type of sauce over it?
Correct.
Oh yeah. So what do you want to know about it?
I was just wondering if you had a recipe and.
Oh yeah. So basically what that is, you know, if you have a cream sauce recipe, so, you know, chicken like an Alfredo sauce recipe, what I do is I'll use like sherry wine instead of traditional Chardonnay. And you can get crawfish tail meat, I believe, at like Walmart or somewhere. So you basically make the Alfredo sauce with the wine. You add your Cajun seasonings in there. And I like to do a ratio mixio. I never just use cream. So I'll use like maybe a cup of cream and to a cup of wine and to a cup of chicken broth. You know, and that'll give it a really nice flavor. And then just fry up your catfish, your normal, you know, use your Cajun season, you know, your 50-50 ratio with the flour and the cornmeal. And then once that catfish is done, you know, you're just going to put that on your plate and you just spoonful that sauce right over it. It's excellent. Cream sauce and fried fish is, oh my God, you talk about delicious. We also do that in a pastry too as well. We'll stuff a pastry with jambalaya and put that same type of crawfish cream sauce over that.
Sounds fantastic. Thanks for that call. Before we go back to our callers, Ace, I want to check out another recipe you shared with us. We've got it at WPR.org/Food Friday. Now, this is a Creole crab dip, but hold on. It's a hot green and yellow three cheese Creole crab dip. Green and yellow. Where'd you come up with that?
I don't know. A couple of, you know, all-star NFL team out here in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Those guys.
Yeah, those guys. Yeah, you know, like I said, I always love to be festive, you know, traditional in Louisiana, you know, they would just use maybe a cheddar cheese or something. But, you know, being in Wisconsin, I like to put, I mean, now I put up to 8 different cheeses. I use that 5 cheese Italian blend, and then I'll use like a pepper jack or a Kobe jack. So specialty cheeses work excellent in this dish. And it can be made ahead of time. I literally prep up the dish. I love putting it in a pie plate. That's my best bet. You know, wrap it up, and then the next day when your guests are coming, throw it in the oven for about 15-20 minutes, and you're good to go. You know, the pita chips that are on there, they take a little time. They're a little tedious, but if you've never had homemade pita chips, and that's just using the actual pita bread, oh, man, they're like night and day compared to what you would buy from the grocery store.
This sounds like an awesome snack. Again, those are both up, the pita chips and the hot green and yellow three cheese Creole crab dip from Ace Champion, up at WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's go back to our callers now. Mike is with us in Wausau. Mike, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Mike?
Hey, well, I've been down to New Orleans a few times, and one of my favorite dishes is barbecue shrimp.
Oh, man.
There's one at Deanie's restaurant. They serve it's my favorite, and I've tried to make it at home, but it is never even close.
Well, the problem is where you're getting your seafood down there from the Gulf of Mexico, and we're getting ours down here from where, you know, somewhere overseas, China, Vietnam. I'm not sure, but I know it's not coming from the Gulf. So, you know, if you can start off with a good quality, you know, seafood, that really is hands down. I know at a couple of local grocery stores like Festival, when you buy the shrimp, just look for Gulf shrimp and make sure that they have the whole shell on it. You don't want them peeled or deveined. Otherwise, too much of the liquid gets into the shrimp. So just whole shrimp, nothing done to that. And then good quality Gulf shrimp. And then find a good shrimp boil. There's tons of them on, you know, on the shelf. There's Zataran, Slap Your Mom, a couple different ones. Get a nice shrimp boil and you should be good to go. And when you do the shrimp boil, I would recommend maybe adding some sausage to that too as well, because that sausage is going to release that fat in there and give the shrimp a little extra flavor too as well.
Fantastic. Hope that helps you out, Mike. That sounds really good. Yeah, we had another listener email. Grant emailed the shrimp he finds isn't doing the job for him. Grant was wondering, you know, if we're just not able to find shrimp we want, can we do like Creole dishes with other types of seafood that maybe we can get better quality here?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, the knockoff to the shrimp in Louisiana is the crawfish, and you can get that frozen. I know I picked some up at Walmart the other day, and it was actually from Louisiana. Sea scallops tend to hold well. You know, I always say just use your own fish. I mean, if you have a good catfish recipe and you love, you know, what is it, perch out here or haddock, you know, you can use those fishes. You know, it's just catfish is so predominant in Louisiana. That's why they use it. So feel free to splurge. And I've noticed a lot of times where they call for seafood, I've done a shrimp etouffee where someone didn't like seafood. So I substituted chicken, and there's no recipe for chicken etouffee, but it actually came out great.
Awesome. Thanks for that call. It's Food Friday. We're talking to Ace Champion. He's from Louisiana originally, now a Green Bay-based chef and cooking instructor, host of the TV show Cook Like a Champion. He's got some Cajun and Creole dishes to get us ready for Mardi Gras and get us through a cold stretch of winter. Well, now this, the other recipe we've got up from you at WPR.org/Food Friday sounds like a great meal for a cold, cold night. Beef and bourbon pot roast with mushroom port wine sauce. How do we get this roast going?
I almost called that shut the front door pot roast. You know, no, so I created that. I teach cooking classes down here at Mona Rose Winery, and she requested me, and I kid you not, I never had made pot roast. So I said, I can't just make pot roast the way grandma's done, and I'm not going to go up against no grandma. So I had to twist it up. So what I did is you roast the pot roast in the oven about 250 for about three and a half hours by itself. And by this way, you allow the roast to just take on the flavor and release the flavors into the juices. Now the carrots, I learned that brown sugar carrots actually go good with pot roast because it kind of clashes the sweet and the spicy. So I make these carrots, you know, you just get the sliced carrots from the store, saute them with a little bit of butter, a little bit of sugar, make sure they're still al dente and crunchy, and then put those to the side. And then the potatoes, I got the really small baby red potatoes that I just steamed and baked off in the oven. So when I serve this pot roast, I have the pot roast, I have the carrots on the side, and the potatoes on the side. And instead of just having the gravy where carrots and the bro, everything's all mixed in together, so you just experience one flavor, I had did this mushroom port wine sauce that actually is meant to go over pork tenderloin. I made that from the leftover pan juices of the roast. So when the roast was done, I poured it over it as a sauce. And this way, you don't have a plate where there's pot roast and everything all over the plate, and it's all just one big plate.
Now, I want to take
you can enjoy the flavors individually by themselves.
That it sounds awesome. And again, that's up at WPR.org/Food Friday. I want to ask about one more dish I saw. We don't have it up on the website here. You enter contests sometimes. I read this, a bacon mac and cheese. Hold on. Grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
It's got everything.
Yeah, so I'm a fierce competitor, you know, and I went up, and I didn't know it was this serious, and we went up to Dodgeville and competed in the National Grilled Cheese Champion. I think there was 52 creameries and over 110 people competing, and we ended up taking 3 out of 4 awards. So this mac and cheese recipe is basically you make the queso sauce, which is cheese, a little bit of vodka, some heavy whipping cream, and instead of using elbow noodles, I use rigatoni. So the cheese actually gets in there. So you toss the noodles in this cheese sauce. I laid them on parchment paper, put them in the refrigerator so the cheese kind of hardened up. Then for the bread, I made like this Creole Italian infused butter to go on a kind of like a honey, really wholesome bread. And then I topped that with a new specialty salsa jack cheese. And then I grilled that off. So you have the actual just melted cheese, you have the cheese sauce in there, and then you have the rigatoni noodles. I mean, I ate it, and it's almost like you don't even know you're not eating meat. It's a heavy sandwich. It probably weighs about, 12 to 14 ounces, but let me tell you, it's good eating.
in our last few moments, Ace, you spend a lot of time teaching people to cook, cooking for other people. When it's just you, what do you like to make for yourself, just in our last half minute or so?
I am not a picky guy. I mean, when it comes to myself, I mean, I might just make me a burger. I mean, I'm not like, you know, and people are always so afraid to cook for me because they think I'm going to be that guy that's like, oh, no, you know, I'll eat your spaghetti out of the can. I'll eat your hamburger helper. I am not a picky eater. I just cook the way I cook because I, you know, that's my job. I get paid to do that, you know, but just all around, I just love to cook, you know, and it's not really the physical cooking part of it. You know, it's what cooking brings, you know, being able to, like tonight, I'm going and doing a birthday party, you know, and to see all these family members coming together around the table and enjoying good food and music and just having a blast and knowing that I did that. That really allows me to live my purpose and not just, you know, it's not all about just filling up your belly. There's a lot more Excellent. That comes with cooking good food.
Ace, thanks a lot for being with us today.
My pleasure.
That's Ace Champion, Green Bay-based chef and cooking instructor who specializes in Cajun and Creole cooking. His books include Cook Like a Champion, and you could see him on the TV show Cook Like a Champion.